Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
You take a seat. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we just do want to be reminded of your greatness. Thank you for that song, Lord. We pray it would just recalibrate our lives right now. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. Maybe they got a lot of heavy things in their life. Lord, I pray that our time together, they could be just reconnected to how good, how great, how powerful you are, and how much you love them. Father, help us, just like we're going to see 2,000 years later, people experienced you, and they were never the same after hanging out with you. And I pray, Father, that could happen for us. I pray, Lord, we could just experience you in a very real and a very personal way today and as we're in this new series. And I pray, Father, that you could just change us from the inside out, and it would change our families, it would change our friendships, it would change our places of work and our community. And we ask for your help in this and your guidance in all this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, it's good to be with you. Thanks, guys. I know it's a little cold out, but this is a nice January overall and a nice winter. So, you know, yeah, you can give that a round of applause. Heck yeah. Thank you, God. I'm excited about today. If this is your first time here, man, welcome. My name's Chad. I just kind of wandered up here today, but I figured I might as well give a message. No, I'm just kidding. But I would love the chance to get to meet you. I like to hang out in the foyer after service, so make sure to come by and say hi. And you're coming in at a perfect time because today we are beginning a brand new sermon series. And it's called Never the Same. And we're going to look at these encounters from 2,000 years ago when Jesus just met all these different people from different backgrounds. And he had conversations with them, and it changed their lives. And what is amazing is I believe that in these conversations, there is so much for us today. And as we kind of lean in and we listen in, and if you open your mind and your heart to what's being said, I think it can be things that transform us as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks into mid-February. And today we're going to kick it off. And they're all going to be in John's Gospel, which is an ancient biography of Jesus. So there's four of them in the New Testament, and we're going to center all these in John's Gospel. So that's where we're going. And have you ever seen something in life or known about something, and you just looked at it, and you were like, you know what, that's not for me. I know people, maybe they're into that, but that's just not for me. You know that feeling? I had drill this weekend. There's a lot of kind of young soldiers that are in a similar stage as me and Allie. They're about to have their first kid, you know, young family. So I like talking about them and commiserating with them. I mean, talking about all the details of it. And one of them I was looking for because I knew his wife was going to have a baby soon. And I said, hey, how's everything going? He said, we had the baby. And I was like, what, isn't it early? He's like, yeah, 7 weeks early. I was like, oh my goodness, but thankfully, mom and baby are doing great, and they're all healthy. I said, man, that must have been an ordeal and a scary thing. He said, yeah, it was, but everyone's doing good, and the baby's doing good, and so we just started talking, you know, about how it's going, and I said, did you ever feel like when you first started, like daddy duty, like you just had to be so careful with the baby? Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. You just feel like a stiff breeze and like their arm's going to break. So, and then I said, that must have been really intense because the baby is so small. He said, yeah, I felt like that, but now I'm good to go. Now you realize those things are like silly putty. You know, they can bend all sorts of ways. They're as resilient as it comes. And he was talking about that. And he said, and you know what the funny thing is he said, I never saw myself as a dad. And he said, I never saw myself as someone who would love this as much as I do. He said, you know, all my family and stuff, if there were babies around, I always kind of was real cautious about holding them or let alone taking care of them and that kind of thing. But he said, but this is so different. I said, I know what you mean. I feel the same way. He said, I just never thought I would love this. But sure enough, he does. And that's happened in big ways and small ways in my life. I didn't start drinking coffee till a couple years ago because I just thought, oh, it tastes disgusting. And then one late night, I had coffee, and I'm like, I've been missing this my whole life. What was I thinking? Caffeine is amazing. And now I drink coffee all the time. I thought, I'm not a coffee guy. Turns out I am a coffee guy. I even thought this year, I thought, maybe I'm going to stop eating meat. Yeah. I'm really not that guy, though. No, I it was like a 30-second, don't judge me, Ryan. I know you are right now. I think it's unethical to eat something if it can't run for its life and have a fair chance, you know? So that was kind of, it was a moral conundrum. But, you know, I bring this up because I think that sometimes in matters of faith, and when we talk about Christianity, I've met many people over the years that say, that's cool for you, but I'm not that kind of person. You ever meet someone like that? Maybe you felt like that. Maybe you feel like that today. And I'm glad you're here and we can talk about this. Because I think many of us sometimes know people or have or are doing that right now where we look at Christianity, we look at God and a relationship with him, and we think, you know, that's cool if that's your thing, but I'm not, that's not for me. And many times, one of the biggest reasons people have said it's not for me is they'll often say something along these lines. You know, Chet, it's cool, but like I have a scientific mind. I ask hard questions. I want to like dig into things. And so, hey, that's cool. I'm, you know, you're a pastor, that's cool, but it's not for me. But when I hear that, I think, well, nothing you said makes that not for you. And in fact, if that's how your mind is wired, it might be the very perfect thing for you. And the reason I know this is because we are going to see Jesus encounter one of the first people that he called to follow him. And we're going to see that this man that Jesus calls to follow him is a man who has that mindset. He's kind of what we would call more cynical or skeptical. And he kind of thinks, man, there's maybe nothing good that can come from following Jesus. And we're going to see a total change in his life as he embarks it. So here's the idea that I want you to think about today, is that I believe Christianity is actually for people like that. And maybe you're like that. I'm a bit like that. I love to read. I love to learn. I want to believe in Christianity, not because I want to believe it, but because it's actually true, right? I don't believe it's good to believe things just because you want to believe them. I want to believe something because it's actually true. And I think there's this misperception about Christianity that you have to sacrifice your mind and common sense and these kind of things, and you're just kind of wishing and hoping. But I want to show you today from the very beginning, it's not been like that. And that a real faith in God is a learning faith that demands your intellect and your heart and your emotions, but it demands the very best that your mind can offer. You with me on this, church? So that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to look at the story of a man named Nathanael who encounters Jesus. And this is how it begins. It says the next day, this is John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. And he found Philip. And he said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And these were two brothers that he kind of made that same deal with. He said, hey, come and follow me. And they did. They were fishermen. They left their business, left their nets behind, and began to follow Jesus. And so this guy's from that same town. They probably all knew each other. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, to the ancient Jewish people, these were all Jewish young men. And so what was written in Moses in the law is today what we call our Old Testament, typically, and those sort of books. And so these guys are saying, hey, we have found what God has been talking about for a long time. So this is a big deal. I mean, they're making a very bold and big statement, and they're talking to Nathaniel. But here's how Nathaniel said, and just you'll see his mindset. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Does that sound a little skeptical to you? Does that sound a little cynical to you? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You remember that guy we grew up with from Nazareth? Yeah. Remember what he was like? They're all like that. You know, they're all like that. You can't trust those guys. They're all weirdos. They root for Pittsburgh. You can't. Can anything? Just kidding, church. Kind of. Just can anything good come out of Nazareth? And here's the first thing I want you to see. I want you to see that this guy, Nathaniel, was a cynic at first. And sometimes we fall into that mindset, and we bring it in our understanding of who God is. And being a cynic is not a good thing, because what a cynic does is they make sweeping statements without really thinking about it or giving it a fair shakedown. Does that make sense? See, you know when you get in an argument with your spouse and you use the words always and never? That's like a cynical, you always do this. And you know, they're thinking about like the one time that there's the exception to it, and then things just go downhill. You know, I've heard about these conversations. I've heard, just don't have, you know, a lot of experience. Just kidding. But that's kind of the cynical mind, right? It's making unfair sweeping statements. And we all do this as human beings, right? And this is where a lot of problems come from, because this is where prejudice comes from. This is where, you know, we just categorize a whole group of people. And people do that to Christians, too. Man, Christians are all dumb. They don't use their minds, you know, that might have that. And we always know that whenever we're in that mindset, we're really not seeing things truthfully. We're seeing them according to our bias. And that's Nathaniel here, right? Nazareth. Dude, that place is a dive. You kidding me? They're all messed up out there. And he's making that sweeping statement. I read an article this week that made a distinction that I think you might find interesting and helpful between skepticism and cynicism. It's an article by a man named John Manan, and he said, belief and cynicism are closely related, and they're both easy. They're both easy. It's easy to be cynical. You don't really have to think when you're cynical. Now, they're all like that. Well, are they really? I don't even need to think about it, because I've just labeled them all one way. And so you're off the hook. You're taking the easy way out. And what the author's saying is that's an easy approach to life, but it's really unhelpful. And he says, on the other hand, faith and skepticism are practically twins, because they take the full weight of your mind. They take actually thinking about things, actually wrestling with them, and they're both hard because they demand more. And so I just want to challenge you and think about, in your life, are you more of a cynic or a skeptic? Because I think being a skeptic's okay. You're trying to understand. Here's the way that I would say it. Cynics are in pursuit of affirmation. Skeptics are in pursuit of truth. See, a cynic just wants to find all the evidence that already validates what they think. And here's what you need to know. We're all wired to do that. There's this phenomenal book. If you're interested in this type of thing, it's called The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt. And in this book, he talks all about all kinds of research in many different fields. But he says, as human beings, we have an intuition first, and then reason comes. See, every one of us, we think we make evaluations based on reason alone. But you know what? We don't. We make it on our gut, and then we find reasons to show that our gut was right. Does that make sense? Because how many times have you met someone or done something that your expectation was totally wrong? Pastor, that's never happened. That's basically how your look was. I don't know what your problem is, but that never happens to me. Can we be honest this morning? We misjudge things. That's what I'm saying. You think someone's one way, and then you actually turn out to like them. You think the situation really happened one day, but then in time you realize, oh, maybe it wasn't how I thought. And that's just what we have to be careful about, that sometimes we trust ourselves and our judgment too much, and we don't press it hard enough. You with me on this? And here's where it's really important. I believe maybe some of us, and definitely people in our lives, have rejected God for pretty bad reasons, and reasons that haven't really been challenged or thought about, that we've been cynical but not skeptical. It's good to ask questions. God doesn't want us to have an ignorant faith. It's good to seek to really understand these things. And I just would say, as a follower of Jesus, if I'm going to build my life on these things, I want to dig into them at the deepest levels, right? And I want to be in pursuit of truth. And that is what I call more of a skeptical attitude. And I think that's good. And that can be an asset. And so if that's how you're wired, then faith is absolutely for you. Faith is absolutely for you. Because that's not a reason to reject it. So we see Nathanael the cynic, and he says Nazareth is why he rejects God. But let me just throw some reasons why I've seen people just dismiss a relationship with God in their life. Maybe you feel it. Maybe you struggle with it. Maybe you know others who have. But here's some reasons. We've experienced church at a younger age, and it was unhelpful or maybe just outright damaging. I've had many people, man, Chet, I grew up in the church. It didn't really help me in my life. I had these weird experiences, and I don't see how it's relevant to my life. That's Nazareth. It's you know you're a cynic when your eyes roll. That's the key, right? You're like, you're going to talk to me about God. All right, here we go. How long is this going to take? I got a long sermon in me today. Don't just get real comfortable. but that's the mindset. And I think sometimes maybe we've had experiences. But here's the thing. Unfortunately, there's no perfect church. There's no perfect followers of Jesus. And unfortunately, we do stupid things. We misrepresent him. But that's not really a good reason to dismiss him entirely. It's not. Because that may have not been a fair representation of who he is or what he's about. You with me on this, church? So don't roll your eyes at it. Here's the second thing. Sometimes some of us, Christianity might seem, and maybe there's people in our lives, they just see it as what we've been talking about, intellectually shallow. And maybe God's wired them that they have a just discerning and thoughtful mind. And so they look at it and they think, this isn't for me. It all seems anti-scientific, maybe for people with less discerning minds who just kind of want to believe. But again, that's a misperception. When you look at history, some of the greatest minds who have ever lived on this earth have been fascinated and humbled by the truth and power of Christianity. Some of they were not dumb people by any category. I believe today, some of the most brilliant people you could ever meet, some of the most brilliant people in the realms of science and philosophy and history and all these other areas see a beauty and wonder in the truth of Christianity. And if we don't see it that way, it's because we just haven't been exposed to it. It doesn't mean it's not there. So don't dismiss it on that account. You with me on this? For some of us, honestly, our Nazareth, our dismissal is just life's been tough. And what we say is actually intellectual reasons is just experiential and personal reasons. And it's hard times. We go through life and terrible things happen, and we try to reconcile. And then someone's talking to us about God is good and God is in control and God loves us. And we try to reconcile that with some of what we've gone through. And it can be confusing, and I get that. But here's what you need to know. This isn't a thing that requires less than the fullness of your mind and heart to sort through it. And that's why there aren't always easy answers. There isn't always one sentence. It's an experience, and it's something that we have to constantly dive into. And again, the scriptures also talk so much about life being hard. And it never promises that God is just going to wave a wand over us and take all the heart away and protect us from every bad decision that we make or others make. And so my point is, even though that feels very real and visceral, it's not a good reason to dismiss who Christ is. You with me on this, church? Here's the last one. Sometimes, some of us, maybe we've met Christian people that we don't respect or want to be like. Right, you're like, oh, Chet, I knew this guy. Listen, I've met plenty of Christian people I don't like or want to be like, right? That's, some people would probably say that about me. Unfortunately, we don't always get it right. I wish I did. I wish I represented Christ right all the time to all people. And we've all failed, right? But that's part of the message of Christianity. You're all failures. That's the prerequisite. To be a Christian, I have to say, I'm a failure. And I can't figure this all out on my own. And I need God to do something for me I could never do for myself. Like, that's the entry point. So then to go and fail at times actually makes a lot of sense. People, I say, oh man, the church is full of hypocrites. Yeah. It absolutely is. Because we all said we're hypocrites and we need grace, right? That's not an argument against Christianity. You're making the point. We need God's help. I'm not saying we should, you know, just try to continue in it. But what I'm saying is Jesus is for messed up people. And when you encounter messed up people in Christianity, you're encountering exactly who it's for. Anybody with me on this? Anybody? Apparently we got all the saints of God in here today. But we're broken. And so our brokenness is not actually a silver bullet to bring Christianity down, but it is actually part of the core of what it means to be a Christian. And so many people don't understand that. They really do think, no, it's about cleaning up my act. It's about getting life right. I had one man recently tell me, he said, the Bible's full of contradictions. And I said, okay, like what? That's what I always ask after they say that. And he said, well, there's all these people in the Bible that, you know, God says, like, treat people good, don't murder, all this kind of thing. I said, yeah. And he said, but there's all kind of people that did that. I said, exactly. Yeah. What's the issue? He said, well, isn't that what you have to do, all that stuff? No, I said, that's the whole point of the Bible. We've all fallen short, and we're all dirtbags. But sorry to ruin your self-esteem this morning. But God is really good, and he forgives us. And Christ went to the cross to make us right with God, something we could never do on our own. And I said, man, to me, that's like the most freeing message in the world. It's not up to me. I don't have to get it right. I don't have to be something that I know I can never ultimately be. I can't live up to my own expectations. You're going to work out this morning. Snooze. 5 days in a row. I can't live up to my own expectations, let alone an infinite and perfect God. You know, who am I kidding? But that's the beauty of grace. So yeah, are there broken people in the church? For sure. For sure. Are there people that do horrible things in the name of God? And sometimes they just use the name of God and abuse it? Yeah. Because people do that with anything, right? Anywhere you look, there's people that are misrepresenting and abusing. And so my point is the cynic just looks at that and says, see, I told you. See? See? See that? There's that guy. There's that person. You see the news? They're on there. And they say it's all nonsense. But I think you dismiss it too quickly and unfairly and haven't really done the hard work of actually thinking about it. So that's some Nazareth. But I think what happens sometimes is that the more spiritually hungry we are, the more prone to cynicism we actually are. I think sometimes cynicism is just out of frustration. It's out of a desire to say, the questions in my life aren't being answered, and I need something more. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that. You ever felt like, okay, my philosophy, my approach to life, it's not working. I need something more. And I think this is really what changed Nathanael from a cynic to a skeptic. From just saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth, to actually going and encountering Jesus. You know, I'm a different person when I'm hungry. Anybody else? I mean, I've told you about this. I'm a full demoniac. There's no life of God in me. And when you're spiritually hungry, you can become hangry there too. And you can just start to get angry and frustrated at the way life is and the things you're experiencing in life. And it can make you prematurely dismiss God. You with me on this? And what is really beneath it is sometimes fear and emptiness. Here's the little insight on guys. A lot of times guys get angry because they're afraid. And that's like an easier emotion to experience. And guys, I'm sorry to give you up like that. But sometimes we get angry because we're afraid. And sometimes we get cynical because we're empty. We get cynical because we're hungry. And we're frustrated. And we need something more in this life than what we're experiencing. And that can be an open door really thinking about who God is. And this is Nathanael. And so the story goes on. So Nathanael's Philip says, Nathanael, all right, I know you're cynical, but would you just come and see? Would you just come and see? And I guess that's really what I'm asking you today. Would you, if you are cynical, or if you're skeptical towards Jesus Christ, would you just consider him? Not all the things that go around it. I think sometimes we want to argue about politics and we want to argue about all that. But you know what Nathanael did that was so genius? He didn't argue about Nazareth. He didn't say, well, Nathanael, the economy is actually going up in Nazareth. They got some new housing developments coming in. The schools are doing great. It's not really that bad anymore. He didn't argue about Nazareth. He just said, come and see Christ for yourself. Here's what I want you to know. The best thing you can do for people in your life that are searching for God, maybe they don't even know it, is say, would you just consider Jesus Christ? Would you just think and open your heart to who he is and what he said? Not religion, not all this stuff that goes alongside, but would you just consider Christ himself? You with me on this? And that's the best thing we can do for people, is point them to Christ. And I think what happens sometimes, church, and I don't think this happens as much in our church, but this can happen in the Christian world, is that we point people to so many other things other than Christ. And they get lost and they get confused. We will always only make Christ the main thing here. Because guess what? He's the main thing in the whole Bible. There's all kinds of things we can argue about in the Bible. And that's cool, it's fun, but at the end of the day, I don't really care. I care, what do you think about Christ? What does he mean to you? Did he die and rise again? Those are the main questions. Those are the main issues, and those are the things that have the power to transform a life. You with me on this? And Philip pointed Nathanael to Jesus. And Jesus went, and he started coming towards him. And Jesus said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. It's a nice compliment. Hey, here's a good dude coming my way. This guy's, he's honest, he's real. And then look at Nathanael's response. He said, how do you know me? Have we met before? You're freaking me out a little bit. He starts to panic. And Jesus answered him, well, before Philip was talking to you, I saw you under a tree. You're standing over there. Not a real spiritual answer. He said, I saw you in the distance. And then look at this. I love this. Never mind. I'll tell it to you later. But then he says, after it, he says, man, you are the Christ, the King of Israel. And he's changed in this moment. He just all instantly becomes open to Christ. Now let me get there. See, he said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these. That's all it took? Was just throwing a compliment your way? And now you're sold? You are the cynic? And now you're bowing down in worship? Hey man, there's a lot more that I can show you that I have to say to you. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And that is kind of an Old Testament image from the book of Genesis. And basically what he's saying there, saying, man, you're going to see God in a way you can never imagine. You're going to see the truth of God through me in a way you never imagined. Now, let me point out a couple things about this. Look at this. Jesus doesn't fault Nathanael for his skepticism. Do you notice that? Nathanael, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, Nathanael, just come and give him a try. Give him a fair shakedown. All right, I'll go. And he went, and he began to get changed. Jesus sees him, and he doesn't say, oh, there's the tough guy. How do you like me now? He doesn't talk smack to him. He doesn't say, oh, you know, you are so skeptical. What's wrong with you? He doesn't say, how dare you question me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I could do to you? Son, he doesn't do any of that, does he? In fact, he praises him and he challenges him to think at a deeper level. He says, oh, that's all it took? I saw you under the fig tree? I got a lot more in store for you, buddy. And I want your faith and your commitment to me to be built on something greater than that. Do you see that? He's challenging him to actually a deeper thinking and rooted faith. And I just say that because God is not afraid of our questions. God is not afraid of our doubts. And I think so many times maybe we're afraid to ask the hard questions. We're afraid when people do. But you know what? When we bring these things to God and we actually go seeking, we might be amazed and transformed by what we find. You with me on this? And God might say, oh, there is so much more here than what you thought. And that's Nathanael. Faith in Jesus requires the full engagement of our intellect, not the surrender of it. God doesn't say, oh, you want to follow me? You have to give up your mind. In fact, I think he says, no, I want you to love me with all of your mind. There's a fascinating story about a man named Francis Collins, and he grew up and just was a brilliant, brilliant mind, still alive today, and he went to college and he got a PhD in quantum mechanics. Pretty awesome. So he became kind of a world-renowned professor and a world-renowned scientist. He actually led the Human Genome Project, which mapped out human DNA. I don't know what all that means, but it sounds really smart and really high level. And he mapped it out. And you might be interested to know that he is a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And people think, many times on the surface, people think, well, you're like a scientist. How does that go together? And he said, they go together perfectly. There's no contradiction. In fact, my faith helps my science, and my science helps my faith. And that there is a beautiful way that they build into each other. Now, he wasn't always there, but this is what he said about something that changed him. He said, I made a decision to reject any faith view of the world without ever really knowing what it was that I had rejected. He said when he was a younger person and he was beginning to get that PhD and working through it, he had abandoned and rejected Christianity. But he said, I realized I rejected it without really giving it a fair chance. Just what we were talking about. I was cynical, not skeptical. I said, oh, this can't be true, but I never really gave it a fair shakedown. And that worried me, because as a scientist, you're not supposed to make decisions without the data. And then guess what? He began to seek answers. And he found a faith that was more than enough for all the intellect that he could bear on it. You with me on this, church? And it changed him. And it changed his life. And it can change our life too. If we choose to pursue the truth, if you are a truth seeker, good. If you ask hard questions, you'll love Christianity. If you want to dive in and dig in and wrap your mind around it, this is the faith for you. Because God, I believe, is looking for men and women he can use in the world in that way. And you have a place at his table. He's not offended by it. He's not worried about it. And if you dig in, you will see that he is truth himself. And it will change us. The world needs followers of Jesus who will ask hard questions and not settle for easy answers. We need a faith that can help us deal with suffering. There's hard questions involved in that. We need a faith that can deal with real problems in this world. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy to figure that all out or know how to apply the teachings of Jesus to the complexity of our world today. That takes a mind that is willing to think and to be rigorous and to dive in. And I believe that's someone God can use powerfully. If you're skeptical, that can be an asset to your faith. It's not a detriment to it. That can be a unique way that God uses us. It's not a reason to say it's not for me. You with me on this, church? Let me give you a couple challenges today to just make this a little more practical. Number one, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, our homes and our families have to be a place people can process their hard questions. Your kids should be able to ask you the hardest questions they're wrestling with without you alienating them. You with me on this? And I know this is hard because we want them to get to a place we feel comfortable with so quickly. But here's the thing, sometimes it takes time. And sometimes we need to let them wrestle and not freak out. Because when you freak out, what you're showing them is Christ isn't enough for their hardest questions. But he is enough. You're saying there's not enough substance behind the message of Jesus, that we can't go there. But make your home a place where the hardest questions can be asked. Because I want them to process those with you, not Facebook. I want them to process those with you, not their classmate. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but I know you love them and you can care for them and help them to guide through. We don't need to be afraid of that. Here's the thing. If people are in the pursuit of truth, all truth goes back to God because he is truth. All truth is God's truth. So when people are in the pursuit of truth, if they're really in it and they're not in the pursuit of just confirming what they already believe, guess where they're going to end up? Just where Nathaniel ended up, right before Christ. And they're going to recognize in him something that is so much better, so much more real than anything else they could see. You know, a tried faith is a strong faith. A faith that's been thought through, a faith that's been wrestled through, a faith where great questions have been asked, that's a faith that will last a lifetime. And that's a faith I want for you. It's a faith I want for our families. There's nothing to be afraid of other than not doing the hard work of us being the people of God and sinking through and being open and well. I want people to be able to explore their faith in our church. And if you're not sure what you believe, I am so glad you're here. You're welcome. I still got a lot of questions. How about you? I don't have it all figured out. And this is a place where we can think about these things. We can talk about these things without making the other person feel bad for having real questions. Or somehow implying, well, that's an insufficiency in your faith because you have questions. No, it's not. That's just how we grow. And it's a good thing. We got to foster. That's what Alpha is all about. We're starting Alpha this year. It's a place for people to ask questions in a safe and fun environment where they get food. That always makes things better, right? Where people can just explore their faith because we got to be a church. We got to help people think through it, not feel like they're an outsider because they're not sure. You with me on this, church? That's so important. Second, encourage skepticism but challenge cynicism. Encourage questions. Encourage that. We need to encourage that. I don't want a shallow faith. I want a real faith. I want one that actually makes a difference in my life and in this world, and that takes a little bit of skepticism. Cynicism, I want to challenge that. Maybe you're dismissing Christ too soon. I want to challenge people on that. I don't want to let them get off the hook that easy. How about you? And I don't want to do that in my own life. Challenge cynicism. But encourage skepticism. That's a good thing. And then lastly, keep Jesus the main thing. He's always the main thing. That there are so many different aspects of theology. There's so many different things in the scripture. And we can spend our lives arguing, and unfortunately, sometimes as churches in the world, we make the biggest deal out of secondary things. And it confuses the world. And I'm not okay with that. Because the main thing is Jesus. You know what all the Bible is about? It's all about Jesus. It really is. We don't always see it that way. It's the main thing. And if you keep the main thing, it'll be helpful to you and it'll be helpful to others. He's what it's all about. I'll disagree about stuff all the day long, but who do you think Jesus is? Did he die and rise again? That's what our faith is built on. If he rose again, it changes everything. If he rose again, I better consider the truth of what he said, the truth of what he taught, the truth of who he is. When you keep the main thing is far more helpful to people. And so, this is a faith for skeptics. This is a faith for truth seekers. And let's be people who help others develop a rich faith, and let's have one ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that our questions are not insulting to you. We thank you so much, Lord, that where we struggle to understand things, you don't dismiss us and you don't see it as a character defect, but as a growth opportunity. Thank you for your patience, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to be people that desperately want to help other people, to not dismiss Jesus for subpar reasons, but to actually give them a fair shakedown in their lives. Help us, Lord, personally, to just keep going back to you and understanding who you are and what your presence and your leadership means in our life. And Father, help us as a church to do that for our community. Help us to keep the main thing, and Father, may we be a place where people know this is safe to think, to talk about these things, to explore these issues. And Father, I pray that through that process, just like Nathaniel met you and was never the same, we could meet you too and never be the same as well. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.